Hello again, Dwayne Brummett here with Ali Alvarigo, SchoolOwnersTalk.com. Ali, good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's good to be with you as well, Dwayne. It's always great catching up and talking on the, you know, about different topics, but just catching up and hanging out with you.
Well, thank you. I have a lot of fun, so it's all good.
I know. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I've talked about this a number of times. Like Thursdays, today. Normally we do our calls on Monday, but today is Thursday. And Thursday is normally my time that I meet with my good buddy. And we've been meeting for, geez, over 20-plus years, you know, and we just get together. He's a school owner. We sit. We have breakfast. We kind of counsel each other. All the different things, you know, about, you know, you can't believe that this happened, and I can't believe Mrs. Jones did that, and, you know, it's something that's well needed. Today, though, we chatted real quickly, and I thought it'd be a great thing for us to talk about, was about certain schools and the highest level of professionalism, while other schools don't even kind of know what the concept of it actually is. And I wanted to get your insight on that. Like, you know, when we talk about professionalism, we're at a whole different level than some maybe starting school owners, or maybe even some what they consider, and I'm holding up my quote fingers, old school. You know, so what do you look for? You know, like, what would you tell school owners to think about, you know, as far as professionalism and so on?
Well, I guess first and foremost, you know, what you're representing is actually what you're delivering. So meaning the whole brand, the type of school you are, kind of needs to all fit into your unique selling proposition. And I know we've talked about USPs before, but I really think if you develop your USP to the best that it can be, and you allow that to be able to really just flow into every single aspect. So I guess that's probably my first and foremost thing that I look for is when I see a school, you know, what does it tell me about the school? And then when you ask the school owner, you know, what is your school about? Are they congruent? Because if they're not, you're sending mixed messages to your students, your clients, the parents, I mean, everybody there. I don't know how in depth you want me to go. I mean, obviously we can talk just necessarily about the look and the feel and the smell and all those things
Well, you know, all important. I love that. I mean, you know, we do quite often, we do calls that, you know, last more than one 20-minute session. So maybe this is one of those calls where it takes a lot more. But I think often it's interesting at, you know, the way – and there, I have a saying that I use with my staff all the time, and it rings so true, and it's called owner's eyes. You know, like I see everything. You know, I'll walk in and there's a piece of paper, you know, garbage on the floor. I bend down and pick it up, yet some of my staff has stepped over it. You know, sometimes my students step over it. I'm like, I see everything as a school owner. However, I wasn't always like that. You know, I had to learn and train myself to be able to think that way. And when I was the old school mindset, and I say old school mindset only because, you know, I learned from my teacher, who learned from his teacher, and I kind of followed in their footsteps, and I just basically had the same attitude. So back in the early days, if someone didn't like it, I was like, you know, well, you know, get the heck out of here kind of attitude. Now, over the years of 20, going on 23 years in business, I've learned to understand that when people say things, they're giving me the opportunity to help me please them. Some of people are just natural complainers, but overall, I want to learn from every encounter, every situation, every frustration, and I look at things through owner's eyes. So I want to always take a look at my school through an owner, but the perspective of what does a customer see, what does a new prospect see, what does a grandparent dropping their child off or a mom bringing their kid for the first time, what do they see, what in their eyes constitutes a professional, well-run organization. That's what I think that we need to really start hitting on so that these school owners kind of almost have this checklist of 1 through 10 to go through.
Absolutely, absolutely agree. I give you, for instance, this week the landlord had hired someone to trim the hedges, so they trimmed the hedges down and cut the weeds out and all that other stuff in front of the building. Well, this was Tuesday in the afternoon. Well, then he left it all there.
Right.
And Wednesday came along. I leave Tuesday night, and of course, my landlords, you know, they're everything's closed in their office, and so I couldn't call them anyways yet. And so I come back the next morning, and it's still there, of course, and it's raining. So now it's even worse because now all those leaves that were cut off of those bushes are sticking to the ground. It looks absolutely horrible. Well, then the guy pulls up, and he was working on the other unit that's next to me. And so I went over, and I just was asking, you know, hey, how you doing? And I see, you know, the other day that you were, you know, trimming these down. You know, I was wondering when you thought you might be able to get those up. He says, well, I ran out of time on Tuesday. But I was going to get them today, but it's raining and they're sticky and stuff like that. And I said, I understand that. I said, but look, I said, this looks really bad when I have prospects and even clients come up to my facility because they don't know that you did it.
Right.
They think that I did it.
Right.
And so he went out there and he did pick it up and everything. But just, I mean, even that, as small as it is, it's huge. It's a big deal. And not to mention, you know, we got a lot of people coming in for our summer special that are going to see us for the first time. That's not what I want them to see.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's interesting? You know, that brings up a thing that out of my memory of when I used to travel to Japan. And I remember waking up real early, getting on my bike, and I'd get out there, you know, 6 a.m., 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning, and just ride around the town. And I always remember the shop owners. They were always out. I mean, and we're talking the front of a 7-Eleven. Every single person was out, and they would hose off their sidewalk and sweep out their sidewalk and clean their windows. I mean, I'd see these old mom-and-pop type stores with elderly, you know, people that were run the store, you know, and they'd be out there cleaning up and making sure that, you know, everything looked the way it should, you know. And that's something that I think that we don't do enough of, you know, because perspective is, you know, again, it's perception is reality. And it's not my reality. If it's their perception, it's their reality. It doesn't mean anything. If they believe that the school is dirty and they saw a piece of speck of dirt, it's dirty in their eyes. No matter how much I tell them I clean and how much work I put into it, you know, that's basically what they see. And there's nothing I can do to change that other than to meet their standards. So as school owners, we have to remember that we have to continuously do this. We have to always and forever meet the standards of our clientele. And if we don't do that, we're going to end up losing clients over it. It's important for us to understand that it doesn't matter, you know, what we think. It really only matters what they think because they're paying the bills. They're staying, they're training at our school. So we are servants of those people. You know, of course, to some extent, we could, you know, we don't have to take everything from everybody, but at the same time, we also have to remember that they're the ones that we're serving.
Well, and you know, the other thing is they know your monthly price because they're paying it, and then when they say to themselves, "Gosh, I'm paying this guy this much," and you know, he can't even you know, keep the mirrors cleaned in the bathroom, or you know,
right.
the right hand corner of the ceiling where there's a spider web and it's been there
yeah.
for you know the past 2 months.
Yeah.
That's huge, even though we don't think it is. And I can, we all can relate to this because we've all gone to a restaurant before, either in town or out of your town, that maybe you've never been there, or maybe you've frequented quite a few times. Doesn't matter. But we've all been there. We sat next, you know, we sit down, and the blinds are right next to us, and the blinds are covered in dust.
Right.
It makes you not want to eat there. Just
right.
because of that. And that might be the only thing out of everything that needs to be cleaned in that place. That might be the only thing that never gets cleaned.
Yeah.
But, again, to go back to what you said, my perception is my reality. So I'm thinking that food is just as bad as those blinds.
Exactly. And you know what? There, you know, it's true. And, you know, I'm a big stickler. Like, I love when I go in restaurants and I see the decor. I take photos of it. I get ideas and you know, and so on. So I think that it's interesting, like, for me, like, if I go into a bathroom at a restaurant and that bathroom is disgusting, it makes me – I'm grossed out by the entire place thinking that their restaurant is disgusting as well. So they're not maintaining their facility, you know, from top to bottom. It creates a really bad impression on everything. So we have to understand that. So, and that's one level of professionalism, you know, what our look is, you know, how clean we keep our place, you know, how people are, you know, perceive us, the smell. You know, I have it's amazing where I have a women's, you know, not women's, but I do a kickboxing program. And, you know, mostly men and women, but my guys go in and they spray the Febreze to clear out the dojo smell of all the people in their sweaty gis the class before. So sometimes we try to do it in the other room so that that room has time to settle and the Febreze sets in. And because they walk in and they get hit with that smell. You know, for me, I've been in that smell the whole entire day. I've been training from class to class to class. I don't even notice it. So I find it so uniquely interesting, you know, well, what people's perception is. And then let alone forget about all of that. Now we talk about how they get greeted when a prospect or a new person comes to the door. Going back to Japan, I remember walking in restaurants, 7-Elevens, convenience stores, and the minute you walk in, they yell out, "Itashai maset," which means like welcome, you know, please come in, that kind of thing. It's a welcoming, you know, an introduction. And they could have their head under the counter. I've even encountered people that were owners that were in the restroom, and I came in and the bell went off and they yelled it out, you know. And, you know, things like that are amazing in how you get greeted. I have an article that I wrote called Greeting Everyone Like the President of the United States. Now I've changed that to greeting everyone as if they were the president, you know, because not everyone loves our president. But at the same time, it's how we treat people when they come in, that they're the most important person that we're ever going to meet. You know, how old clients come back and how we say hello to them when they walk through the door. We don't become complacent and just nod our heads. And, you know, I've been to stores where my daughter and I walked in and we waited 20 minutes and they didn't even pay attention to us and we walked out. That happened to me one time. I was looking to buy the Audi, the new Audi sports car. It's like a $180,000 car, and they ignored me, and I walked out. I was furious. I would never go back into that dealership again. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" You know. So, what do you think about stuff like that? What are some of the pointers that you would have for people?
Well, I totally agree. We got a Little Caesars that's here in town. You got $5 pizzas, and I went in there one time, and the lady had just finished with somebody and pulled out her phone to check her text messages as I walked in.
Right.
So she sees me walking in, and then she puts it back in her pocket, and she just looks at me. And I thought, mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not even going to say anything until she decides to say, you know, what do you want, or can I help you? I mean, at least acknowledge me, right?
Right.
So there was some uncomfortable silence there for probably 15, 20 seconds, maybe 25 at the most. And I'm standing there. And I'm looking at her. I'm not looking up at the menu. I'm looking at her, and she's just looking at me.
Yeah.
And it was silent for a while until she says to me, you know, she goes, "Well, do you know what you want?"
Right.
And it was not friendly at all. I mean, and obviously I'm getting $5 pizzas, so you can kind of get the drift. But hopefully school owners understand and they see that how important that is. We all want to feel special. We all want to feel welcomed. Not only do we want to say hello or how are you when they – come in, but we want to tell them have a good night or see you next class, and when they leave as well. That's just as important as the greeting coming out as it is, you know, or the greeting coming in as the greeting exiting.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so true, because I've experienced that where I've not gone back to places just based on the way they answered me. And my daughter, she's 14 years old. We watch every reality show on customer service, whether it be Mystery Diners or Bar Rescue or Rescue Inc. or Kitchen Nightmares or Restaurant Impossible or The Prophet, all of those shows, all amazing shows. And my daughter understands that as a 14-year-old customer service. So, like, for example, we were online at the supermarket the other day, and the girl just couldn't even look me in the eyes, wouldn't hold on to conversation. I was cracking a joke. She just basically brushed it off, you know, didn't really pay attention. And my daughter said, "Wow, that was terrible customer service." And that happened at a restaurant we were in recently, too, at a diner, where, you know, I was talking to the person, and they were just interested. "Well, can I have your order?" Like, they basically said, "Stop talking to me. I just want to take your order. I don't want to have small talk." You know, and by the way, in some of those shows like Bar Rescue, there was a client service specialist, and she said, just by the amount that you laugh and the interaction that you have and the way you look someone in the eyes and the jokes that you make doubles and triples your tip. So these service people who really know their deal know what's going on. So it's sad that some of these people don't get it. But anyway, in regards to martial arts, we have to really be cognizant of what we do and how our interactions go.
Yeah, from your front end desk person, whether it's a program director, secretary, whoever it is, all the way to even your instructors, and any other storm team or leadership members that are helping out with class, they all need to, you know, have that customer service mentality in mind and are doing the proper things along with that.
Yeah, I once went into a school. I think I spoke about this on one of our other calls. I was down in Florida. My niece had just moved down there. We were visiting, and she was a student of mine, and we wanted to get her back into a martial arts school. So we went to a few schools, and most of them were amazing. I mean, I sat for 10 minutes, not even gotten greeted. Another one, I walked out. It was sloppy and dirty, and the people, you know, the techniques I saw weren't impressive. One I walked in, and I'll mention his name, and maybe he'll hear this because it was a good thing. It was Sergio von Schmeling's school, and I walked in one of his locations. I literally no more than I stepped my foot over the door entrance. The instructor, who was on the floor, said, take the count, walked over, shook my hand, said, hi, how are you? I'm so-and-so, instructor so-and-so. You know, nice to meet you. He knew right away who I, you know, that I was not a regular member. I said, oh, I'm here for my niece and looking for martial art class. He said, oh, my God, thank you so much for coming into our location. He said, I'm in the middle of teaching class, but I just wanted to come over and greet you. That's our courtesy. And he said, I'm going to go back on the floor, but I want to introduce you to so-and-so. She's our program director. And he walked me right to the desk. It was the most professional experience that I've ever seen in martial arts schools that I visit, as far as their attention to detail and how they greeted me. You know, so it was
yeah,
just,
and it's important. It's totally important. We were packed here this week because our summer special began. And like, what was it, Tuesday night, I knew it was going to be a madhouse, because on Tuesday night we had, I don't know whether it was 12 or 14 people starting. And my 3, 4, and 5-year-old class starts at 5:30. So people are going to be showing up at 5:15. Well, then my adult teenage and then also my kids' classes start at 6 o'clock. So we had probably, I think, 4 of the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds that were starting and like 10 of the other two groups, you know, that were starting. And there was people just, you know, coming in, and they had, you know, when they came in, we said hello, and we asked, you know, can we help you? And they said, yeah, we're, you know, this is, you know, Daniel, and he's here to start his first class. Great. I'm helping Mrs. So-and-so right now. I said, I'll be right with you. Give me about 5 minutes or whatever I thought was going to be acceptable. And everybody was great. And I said, you know, feel free to, because we have a big picture window when you walk in so you can see the front room. I said, feel free to watch that class. And, you know, and then when I'm ready, I'll come get you. And that's, you know, the way we did it. I mean, when you have that many people, my program director and I were taking care of that.
Right, right. That's great, though. You know what's interesting, too? I mean, you know, that's just a small little thing of what you did and said, I'll be right back. Like, you know, and I'll come and get you in 5 minutes. A person would rather be told that and wait for 15 minutes than be ignored for 3. And I remember my daughter and I, again, we walked in a store. It was one of those high-end chair stores where they had massage chairs and all those crazy, you know, like Brookstone kind of crazy and stuff. So we walked in the store, and the owner, it wasn't an owner or an older gentleman, you know, he wasn't a young kid, was on the phone. And I waited, and he just was talking, and it was clearly him talking to somebody in his family. And I waited, and we walked around, and I waited some more, and he didn't even acknowledge me, not even like a nod or a hold on, honey, and put the phone to his chest and say, I'll be right with you, sir. He didn't even acknowledge me, just kept on chatting on the phone. I walked around, I looked around, nothing at all. I said to my daughter, let's go. And we walked out. He did not even stop me. He just kept on chatting. He was so wrapped up in his own little thing. And, you know, these chairs are not cheap, $4,000, $5,000 chairs. So he could have very well lost the $5,000 sale because he's just so out of it as far as customer service and professionalism.
Yeah, it's...
So it's quite interesting.
It's crazy. And there's martial arts schools that are doing the same thing. And here's the deal is that we have to understand that, yes, we have a culture that is in our school, and our students follow it, and their parents follow it because we've indoctrinated them into that culture. But new people coming in off the street aren't familiar with that. And so we need to take extra care to be able to show them, you know, and welcome them into, and then of course you can start to, and I use the word indoctrinate, I don't mean it to be a bad thing, I just mean you can slowly get them used to whatever your culture is, and that's fine, but we also have to understand we've got to meet them where they are at and don't expect them to be where we're at.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, through training and understanding and reading books on, you know, on, you know, customer service and developing this kind of mindset, you absolutely could learn more and put those things in place. But here's the thing, too. What people don't realize is that there's so many aspects and facets of the martial arts that create a big picture school. So in other words, you could be the greatest technician and be the greatest person as far as doing new techniques on the floor, but you could be a terrible teacher. Or you could be a great teacher and a terrible technician. And, you know, vice versa, back and forth. However, there are so many little, you know, little points, sticking points or touch points, like you call them, Drandon, you know, in your dojo or school that all build one complete brand, right? So, you know, you can get away with not having the cleanest, you know, bathroom if everything else is 100%, or maybe not having the greatest branding if your product is amazing. However, though, if you have all these little things working in tandem and everything together, you have an unstoppable brand, your product and your sales will go through the roof. And, you know, that's important. I mean, we really work on this in our school, how we greet people, how we talk to people, what the school looks like, the entrance, our sitting area, our presentation, our sales processes, all of this stuff, how we answer the phone, how we set up a trial, how we follow up, and the list goes on and on and on. It's all about being the most professional you could be. So, I mean, I know we're kind of running short on time, right? We're kind of getting there.
Yeah, I do want to add one thing to exactly what you said, is that in order to, what you basically want, maybe this all in a nutshell, is the brand that you want to present is so amazing that when you tell them the price of your school, they're like, wow, I thought it was going to be higher.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I hope that kind of sums up what this call was about with regards to, and I think maybe we should, I don't know how you feel, but maybe we should do at least one more call on this, so that we can kind of maybe hit some other avenues, maybe some more specifics rather than being general with everything. But I really think this encompasses everything when you say that if they sit down and they see the value in it, they go, wow, I thought it was going to actually be more. Even if they can't afford the price that you are charging anyways, at least they've said to you, you know, whew, I thought it was going to be more than that. I know, you know, this price is still a little too high for us, but, you know, and then you know you've done your job right.
Right. You know, and it's interesting, though. I've had that situation where I've gone to some extremely high-end, high-cost restaurants and not really gotten the greatest food, but had a great experience and still highly recommended the place and enjoyed it. And then, you know, but then on the other end, I've gotten some great food and terrible service and never would go back. So you're right, though, when people are overwhelmed and with incredible quality and from start to finish, they're not going to really – they're going to see the difference. And a quick thing, two-second story, is I had a guy down the road as a competitor of mine, and then I had two parents come in with their little four-year-old, and they tried out a class, and they joined my school like that, like first day. And they said, oh, yeah, we went down the road yesterday to a school, and the guy was mean and told us that we better bow, and he yelled at our child right before you didn't even know him, before he got in the door, and he was abrasive and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, he goes, but we came in and you guys did everything the other way, and we love this place. It's, you know, and he went on and on and on about why and what we signed him up, because we're so professional. I mean, of course, all around, class-wise and so on, but that's how schools don't realize, some of them, that they're blowing it.
Well, and you even got lucky that they decided to even go back to a martial arts school and not believe that they're all like that.
Very, very true. You're right, because they could have really ruined it for the industry. You know what?
Absolutely.
Well, let's definitely do another call. And I do have another thing that we could download, but let's not do it until the second call. And I call it my follow the flow of things. It's an actual checklist. and it's like almost a rating system that you could do on your school. And I usually give it to my clients and say, go out and ask like 3 or 4 parents to fill it out for you, people you could trust that aren't going to be abusive. Ask a few of your students, and then you have your staff do it. And it's a questionnaire with things like, you know, what's the ambiance of our room? Is it enough lighting? Does it smell right? Is the ceiling tiles clean, dirty? You know, and it goes through this whole entire complete checklist of what our school should have. So, but let
me. I'm going to tell you again, and I can only tell you this because we're friends, is that you give away too much.
Yeah. You know what? My ex-wife, who we're still best friends, in fact, she just texted me 2 seconds ago. She quite often would say to me, she's like, Allie, what's wrong with you? And I go, what do you mean? She goes, you share everything with your friends and competitors. They're like right down the road from you, and you're sharing all your secrets. And I said, well, you know what? My goal is if they do it, it elevates the industry. And also, if they do it, it's going to make me force myself to become even better at that and think of a new thing. So that's why I just love to share. But thanks for noticing, Dwayne. I appreciate that. And we are together on these calls. We're giving out such gold nuggets every time we talk that I'm hoping that people are really enjoying this and getting some information from it. I've gotten some really great emails and people have used some of the ideas we've had and done great with them. So, but thank you for mentioning that, and I'm happy to share. That's my ultimate goal.
Yeah, no, I know that about you. I just had to tease you a little bit.
Yeah, thanks.
So we'll on the next call, we'll continue, talking about this subject and making sure, and we'll give a little bit more specific details, and obviously we're going to give you the download that Allie had brought up as well, that he wants to give away for free to everybody.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. So then, yeah, next call, we'll continue with this a little. Everybody who's listening, I really, really, honestly, I appreciate you guys listening. I really do appreciate the amount of sharing that you do with the blog and letting others know. And, Dwayne, I appreciate you being on the call and us working together. So thanks for everything. And everyone who's listening, thank you so much.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Allie, you too. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Take care.